The topic for this workshop is finding and using a higher power. Our first speaker is going to be JP.
I'm JP. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Give me a second. I let God do what He do through me. Can I say a little slight prayer, if you don't mind? Bow your head. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this moment. Let me decrease, let you increase. And the God you understand, name, mind, Jesus. Amen. So be it. Oh, I was talking to my mama before I got on the way up here this morning. And the reason why I started out like that, because my mama has always been an instrument in my faith. She showed me what it is to follow God in real time. And she raised me in a household that had you accustomed to faith. She used to be a Sunday school teacher. And when I got to this program, I already knew God. I just didn't want to live for Him. And He was cool with that. because He knew I was battling something that if His profundity would have came too soon, I wouldn't be able to grasp what it means to follow God. So the program had to become my God at first so I could get the most prioritized thing, which is not using no matter what, stuck inside of my soul, because we got soul problems. And over time, through step work, through conflict, through uncertainty, through death, and all these sufferings, the profundity of God has become more important, because their relationship is one of the things that has become the most valuable thing that this program has given me. He has a way of hurting you to help you. When I depended on people so much, and don't get me wrong when I say this, this is a program where we are each other's eyes and ears. But sometimes, for the sake of wanting to have an intimate relationship with God, we are depend on people, and people are fragile and feeble and fickle. And God is divine, sovereign in His approach to life, and He know that you will put something before Him, people, place, thing, or thought. And so what He has done on my approach to this program has made me have differences with people to put Him in the proper perspective. Because if you don't know, if you in here and you done been in a relationship with somebody, they done hurt you. Because relationships hurt. Not just romantic ones, platonic ones too. And it's supposed to hurt me because that pain has something inside of it that is supposed to push out my potential to love. But first I got to know what love is, and that's what the God of my understanding has taught me. That's why I identify Him to you.
Yes, sir.
Ain't identification a spiritual principle? Have y'all in y'all process through step work learned that I have to identify as an addict so I can open up to what this program teaches me about staying clean? Well, what the fuck you think you gonna have to do when you meet your God? If I'm in a relationship with my girlfriend name is Karen. I can't keep running around here saying my baby and my lady. I have to identify her by who she is. Well, that's what this fucking workshop is about. You finding out what's the source of your strength. Now, I ain't gonna go on my phone because I done got a little old and I can't figure out shit fast. But on January the 15th, the Just for the Day meditation was talking about fear. But it started out in the introduction section talking about our higher power as our source. as our source. If you don't know what that means that my God that I've learned to get in an intimate relationship has to be the basis by which I make every decision by. He has to become first place in my life over everything he done give me. Whether that's a marriage, whether that's a child, whether that's a job, whether that's my friendships, whether that's my mama and things that I care for deeply, if I place it before him, they're idols. And idols have the capacity to draw me away from the God I say I love. And I don't want to be a hypocrite sitting up here saying I love something I don't follow. You can't be a Narcotics Anonymous member actively if you don't follow the practical suggestions of the program. You could talk this shit all day long, but until what you talk start to become who you are, it has no bearing on who you are. And so that's what I say. I say, I believe in Jesus. Well, show it. Show it through how you love people. Sometimes my love has to understand that what I understand, they can't understand, so don't force it on them. I have to humble myself. I'm in a humbling situation right now. I work with two dumb motherfuckers. Loving them there, but they dumb as hell. Reason why is because sometimes we involve the wrong thing in the right place. They want to have sex at work. I wish one of y'all done it. So in this walk, I have to understand that I'm dealing with unbelievers. I'm dealing with people that don't believe in God. But they still have to experience him through me. So when he finally calls their life, they'll have an example to live by. And it's tough. It's tough. Because I can't talk to them like I talk to y'all. I have to find a different approach. And that's what spiritual maturity is. It's the ability to take your faith in God and allow God to infiltrate your psyche so you can flex your spirit around the circumstance and quit trying to make the circumstance flex around your spirit. See this shit I got on? It's called sweatpants. Right now, they tied up. If I untie them, they loosen up and give me the freedom to pull and stretch my capacity according to my waist size. Well, that's what I have to be able to do in my spiritual approach with God. I have to allow him to put me in circumstances that I'm ill-equipped for and draw out something inside of me that I need this toxic-ass environment for to make me better in my leadership. But you can't be a good leader if you don't know how to be led. Everybody want to lead people. We be leading people astray like hell because we don't want nobody to lead us. That's why they get you acclimated with sponsorship, because you're going to have to learn how to deny yourself and your will for somebody else's understanding of your life until you understand what they understand. It ain't easy because God gives you freedom of will. But he give you that freedom so you can choose to follow him. And I fuck it up every day. Every day. I do something to disrespect the God I say I love so much. And he's so holy in his approach that he has already paved the way, so it's forgiven. Past, present, and future. So that's why we come here. It didn't start out with the profundity. It started out, don't use no matter what. Because I couldn't figure that shit out. It's been some people in my life that done forgot that part of the program, is that none of this shit is possible if I don't learn or continue in this process to remember, don't use no matter what. That's what God wants. I was like, y'all hear that little baby back up? He wants you in the context of that child in the innocence, where you innocent enough to trust something that you can't physically touch. But we like that other childish I want what I want when I want. That's the part we're acclimated to. That's why we got this program, and this program is filtering out all that broken shit inside of me so I can be restored to a level of sanity, peace, that God gives me by me being in constant intimacy with Him, so my emotions don't take over my decision making like it used to. Worship our feelings. We love our feelings. We some, what Kerry? We some feeling motherfuckers. That's what Kerry say. He was over there at the relationship shit. But the thing about the feelings is that I believe it because I can feel it, that whatever my thoughts are telling me are true. And don't realize because I'm in an emotional disturbance that my thought process is fractured in this moment, so I need not trust my understanding. And then I go run off and make a decision on that shit. I'm grateful God has given me a little more maturity where I can kind of control or manage my thought life while I'm in that emotional disturbance. Because I done made some badass decisions when I was mad. You know, we bypass the first emotion to go to anger because that's the one we give ourselves permission to express. But it's a secondary emotion, meaning it's something up underneath it that's making this emotion prominent. But because I don't want to look and feel that emotion, I do this one, get angry. And I done fucked up some shit when I got angry because I got angry and made a decision. And you got to remember, you can't stay angry. You got to come back down. And when you come back down, you start to think clear. And when you think clear, you're like, damn, I probably wouldn't did that if I wasn't angry. But your ass got all these consequences now. And that's where God shows up, in chaos. Nobody likes confrontation or chaotic situations. We always beg God to remove the thing that He's allowed. But if He's allowed a storm in my life, whether indirectly or by my own choosing, it's because He has a freedom in it if I trust Him. That's why the third step and the second step is so important, especially the third, because it's taken out of the vocab and you're going to have to start walking. It don't say fucking talk by faith. It say walk by it. But if you can't see the path clearly, then you don't have faith. That ain't what faith is. It's believing in the unseen. If all you see is all you see, then you don't see everything there is to see. That's why we have to quit making God so damn casual. He's holy, sacred. When you talk about the things you need to talk about and respect, if Trump walked his motherfucking ass in here, y'all niggas are bow the fuck down. But then we got a God who created a program that sustained over the generations. This program didn't stay like what you experienced. It didn't start like this. The freedoms we got today, it didn't happen. It came off the backs of somebody else's sacrifice. Somebody had to go without what we experienced as normal for us to have the privilege to sit here together. And we wasted all the fucking time because we take God casually. We don't realize the significance of a program like this. But I was telling cuz on the way down here, I said, cuz, I said, with the difference we had in the streets, some of the petty shit we argue over, bro, we would have got to shooting at each other. Yeah. But we could come in this room, have a difference with each other, just get a resentment. It's a privilege to get a resentment. Gives me a challenge to see I'm weak without God. My God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And when we get the fourth step, we want to brag about the damn assets and skim over the defects. But that's where you're going to witness God's power in your brokenness. Man, I love being weak. I went and told my boss, the one I told you, the dumb motherfucker. He still got that street mentality. Mind, he doing better. Don't get me wrong. But he still got that street mentality. You can't blend the two. So look, he gonna tell me, yeah, cuz I know how to do that. I know how to do this. Like to be quick-witted. I like to be dumb. I'm dumb enough, like a sheep. so I could be led by my shepherd. So I numbed down in a minute. He told me, cuz, you do this, you do that. I said, cuz, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and I damn sure don't know how to do it because it's a new experience. When you have a new experience, your knowledge is not going to suffice. It'll get you on a starting point, but you have no experience attached to your knowledge, so it hasn't become material yet. So he want me to know something that I don't know. And he done met the wrong one because I like being dumb. And he want me to be smart. And we know in his program, they said you could be too smart to get this bitch. You can never be too dumb to get it. And that's what happened to us in this program. We get too damn smart because we think we got contact with some information. And what you tell, get the information. It ain't shit without the experience. It can't become wisdom without the experience. And even more so, your serenity prayer said, God first. God grant me the serenity to understand how to use the wisdom that you bestowed on me. So I done fucked a whole lot of people up with my attitude about how I handle the truth. It says, recovery is an active change of ideas, attitudes, and behavior. And all we talk about in this motherfucker is behavior. Ideas and attitudes start on the inside. You got to think about what you're thinking about. I get the truth and I pow, shoot somebody's ass like hell with it because I deliver it with the wrong attitude. I wish I could tell you what I know, but I really disrespect the program with what I really want to say. But I say it like it. Sometimes you get angry about somebody that you're leading for your leaders. And God is testing you, but you think you are the solution to this person's problem. And it's not that he doesn't care about the other person, but the test is on you and you don't know it because you the one that know what he wants you to do. And because this person that you leading can't grasp what you're understanding, it frustrates you. Yeah. It's called control. God didn't give you control over people, places, and things. He gave your motherfucking ass self-control. So in my approach to delivering this mail, this person is drawing up an emotional state in my brokenness, and I'm not realizing that I'm trying to force the truth to be absorbed in somebody's soul. I can't do that. Now I'm playing God. But God sent back looking at me, CC. Then you wonder why some of your prayers ain't answered. Look at you. Look how you handling this person. Look how you being mean with the truth. You're telling them, but he can't receive it because you ain't telling them with compassion and grace. And that's how we do it here. You won't know where you can find out how we handle our traditions unwisely and unspiritual. Take your ass to a business meeting. Take your ass to the business meeting, predecessor. And guess what you'll do? All these motherfuckers been in here sitting around here with all this information, all this time, traditional walking the programs because they seen it look like it's in this generation. Now that God is asking for a shift, you can't do it because it's been practiced like this the whole time. And what I'm trying to do to this person right here that doesn't understand where I came from, I'm trying to make them understand a time they didn't live in. Traditions. They good in its essence, but when my humanity get involved in it, I pollute it. Because it makes me self-righteous and arrogant in my approach to how I handle the truth. And God is right there testing my ass to see if I'm going to handle it the way he does. Because I shouldn't be standing right here breathing this air with how much I offend God. Shouldn't be here. Know what I did to get here, and I shouldn't be here. No people that have done less than what I've done and are sitting in a cell for the rest of their life. And I'm standing here talking to y'all ass. I was talking to my boy the other day. Because my dumb friend. And my dumb friend probably finna go back to the pen. And I was telling him, I said, cuz, I used to paint. back in the day, because that's what he got me doing, paint. Do not want to do it, but God said, take your ass over there and help that boy do whatever he needs you to do so you can learn how to serve leaders that don't deserve the position. Did you hear what the fuck I said? People. Because we got self-righteous, especially in this world. Do y'all want me to keep going? We divided because we rely on things that don't even trickle down to us, and we expect one fucking person to say the whole damn word. Then we up here mad because we ain't get our way. But God said it rains on the just and unjust. Pray for those that despitefully use you, blah, blah, blah. But now, when it get up and my emotion get triggered and I get offended, I have an opinion. I ain't come to play no games. So, anyways, I told this bud, I said, bro, look here. Hold on, I lost my thought. I've been having a lot of conversation with this brother. He finna go to the pen. Okay, I'm like, bruh, you need to watch how you treat people when you're in position of power, because these people are looking to you to guide them and show them how to walk the way, not know how to walk the way. But he ain't got it. How the fuck can you want to be a boss and you don't like people? How the hell can you be a sponsor and you don't like people? Sponsorship is a position of authority in somebody's life. If God has put me in this program, it's because he has an assignment for me that has people for me to affect and be affected by along the way. But when I'm so offended and sensitive in my approach to life, I try to save myself and I isolate myself from the thing that's supposed to bless me. People. People are your biggest currency. A relationship is going to get you to that vision you had in your head. And if you don't like people, that shit ain't going to come to pass. Because I have to learn how to deal with all walks of life. All walks of life. That's why the program has a thing that says diversity is our strength. I come in here looking for somebody that reminds me of where I just came from. That ain't the person I'm trying to get to, because I'm trying to get away from my past. I'm trying to look at somebody where I'm going. It started out with identity and relational from backgrounds, but now I'm in a place where I got some years clean. I don't know how to navigate my future. So I can't tell God that this person is going to be the person that gets me to where he tell me I'm going to get. I got to open my mind that everybody that comes in my life is resourceable enough to get me to where God comes to, is taking me to. And if they bring problems with it, the problems are just a seed that goes into the purpose of what the destiny is. I have to embrace the pain. But we don't like pain. And if you don't learn to love pain, you ain't gonna change. Because pain is the catalyst to change. It's a motivator. So, this world is in an uproar, as you can see. Our children can't go to school safe. Our leaders are in conflict with each other. They beating the hell up out of each other up in the government. And that shit trickling down on us like it's supposed to. Because you know why? E-G-O. Edging God out. Ego. And we all like to live by our ego. Like how it make us feel. It make us feel empowered, in control. Don't not realize that spiritually I'm out of control. And that's what kind of world we live in today. So for you people who don't like faith and don't want to trust God in his walk, you're going to have a hard time navigating uncertainty, because you don't know what the fuck going to happen from one moment to the next in this world that we live in today. So if you're fighting for a sure thing of the past and where it used to be, where you felt secure and you know what the world looked like, you fucked. because God got us right where he wants us at. Well, we're going to have to repent and come back to him so he can reorder this thing the way it's supposed to, so we can have real peace, not all this circumstantial shit, the absence of pain that we call peace, peaceful within by knowing the divine power. Not a casual God. It start good in the first. I'm going to say this to shut the fuck up because I got 54 seconds. Our literature has opened up a pathway for you to delve into a deeper experience with God. Because the common goal overall for this purpose is not to use no matter what. But spirituality goes deeper than the surface. So when you say God of your understanding, it's milk. You can only drink milk for so long. Y'all last try to drink milk and go out here and do y'all job and see what the fuck happened. Drink some milk and go do it. I know y'all some hard working motherfuckers in here. Go drink some milk and do your job. See what happened. You're going to have to get to the meat of the program.
That's right.
And to get to the meat of the program, it requires you to let go of what the program told you in the beginning. Because this is a comma behind this shit. It ain't no period. It's a continuation of God's word. That's why I get up here and profess my faith openly, because I'm responsible in this moment to glorify the God that I serve through identification, not in vagueness no more, where I say God. Because motherfucker, you say, excuse me, Lord, I know I cuss too much, forgive me. But you say God. That's too vague of a term when you done been around here long enough. It's too vague. My God used to be the dope once upon a time if you work a thorough step. It was a higher power because it controlled my life. So when I'm talking to a spirit, I want to know what spirit I'm talking to. So, anyways, I appreciate y'all for letting me come down here. God bless each and every one of y'all.
I'm going to ask our next speaker to come on up, Danny.
Hey, can y'all hear me in the back? Can y'all hear me in the back?
Yeah.
I always wanted to say that. I'm a grateful recovering addict known as Danny Huggs. And I want to thank you, JP, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. I want to thank the Out of the Darkness into the Light Convention Committee for inviting me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. And there's a lot of people in here, man. So there's a lot of newcomers. If this is your first convention, will you please stand up for a minute? Stand up. Hold on. The reason I asked you to stand up, please stand up. The reason I ask you is because I'm going to ask everybody else to look at these people. Look at these human beings. You are the most important person in this meeting and any meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. We can only keep what we have by giving it away. Thank you for being here. My clean date is October 20th of 2001, just for today. Got a little over 23 years clean by the grace of God and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an NA kind of guy. I've got a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. who has a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor, who has a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. Listen, whatever's working for you, works for you. The reason I'm saying that is because I have a responsibility to come in here and share a clear Narcotics Anonymous message. The reason I'm saying that is because my responsibility is to like give hope to the hopeless. Our primary purpose is to stay clean and carry the message. The message is that an addict, any addict, and Charles touched on it last night, any addict can stop using drugs. Check. Lose the desire to use. It didn't say get high. It said use. I'm working on that. 23 years clean, total abstinence, still trying to find a way to stop using. And find a new way to live. And that's why I'm here. That's our topic is finding a higher power and using, or finding and using a higher power. I'm sorry, I went to Chicago Public School. Finding and using a higher power, right? So I'm going to go to the literature. I'm going to go to our basic text. I'm going to keep it real simple and honest. And this is my basic text. Raise your hand if you do not have a basic text. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need 6 basic texts. Do not leave this workshop until you get a basic text. Please. This book saved my life. I never read a book in my whole life until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. My book is falling apart. My book, this is my basic text. My sponsor told me if your book is falling apart, your life shouldn't be. He said instead of snorting lines, Danny, how about we start reading lines? And I didn't come here for that. I didn't come here to find a new way to live. I just wanted my wife to like stop looking at me sideways. She would mess up my get high. My wife is not an addict. I don't call them normies. Ain't nothing normal about somebody being with an addict. Look, I always share about my wife. She's my gift from God. She used to be my hostage. I'm that guy. I was a dirtbag husband. I put a gun to my wife's head. I said, if you leave, I'll kill you. And I meant it. She was my hostage. But because of this program and the principles that we get to incorporate in our lives, most of the time, she's not my hostage anymore. She is the beneficiary of the principles of this program that we get to like practice. Again, I'm gonna come out of the literature, and please, if I share anything that is contrary or against what your sponsor's taking you through, then consult your sponsor before you change anything, because clean time is the most important thing here, right? We got to stay clean if we are to recover. It says that in our basic text. So I want to start with our introduction, and in our introduction, hold on to your seats now. Right? Because I thought I had a drug problem. But if you have a monkey in a suit and you take the suit off, you still have a monkey. I think I like being tall, man. Usually I'm like this, right? So in the introduction, guys, it says, based on our experience, we believe that every addict, including the potential addict, suffers from an incurable disease of body, mind, and spirit. Right? We were in the grip of a hopeless dilemma, the solution of which is spiritual in nature. That's what this says. Don't get mad at me. That's what the book says. Therefore, I love that word therefore. Because when I see that word therefore, I better go back to see what, what? Right? So if I were just to start saying, therefore this book will deal with spiritual matters, well, I done thrown you off. What do you mean, therefore? So that's why I read those sentences, right? Because this book, in the introduction, we ain't even got to the first step yet. It says this book will deal with spiritual matters. And if you don't want to deal with spiritual matters are probably going to deal with you. I'm just saying. Keep coming back. So I want to talk about real simple stuff. I'm just going to go to step one. You know, the word God offended me when I got here. Let me just tell you, I grew up in the inner city of Chicago. My grandmother had a drug problem. She would drug me to church. She drug me to church. And I was rambunctious, man. I couldn't sit still. I was that, even here sitting there, I'm turning around in the meeting, going, man, there's a lot of people. Like, I want to see who's here. And my grandmother, man, all 4 foot nothing. I was the tallest one in my family. For real. And my grandmother, man, she would just sit there. She wouldn't even look at me. She'd just go like this. And right here behind my arm. So I knew I was going to get a bruise going to church. And look, this is a spiritual, not religious program. But I also want to tell you, it's also not an anti-religious program. So I'm going to emphasize, whatever's working for you, don't change it based on what somebody says up here without consulting your sponsor. Right? Because we all have different degrees of illness and rates of recovery. What worked for me in one phase of recovery might not work in another phase of recovery. But let me get back to step one. See, when I come in here thinking I had a drug problem, I suffered from a spiritual malady, right? So I was suffering from mental illness, having some untrue, unhealthy belief systems. Like, look, man, I was traumatized as a child. I come in here with religious trauma. I come in here with like some questionable belief systems of hypocrisy, right? My grandmother, she drug me to church, and she would say, in Spanish, right? Siempre diga la verdad. Always tell the truth, right? To be honest, to be a stand-up guy, right? But as soon as the phone would ring, and it was a bill collector, tell him I'm not here.
Yeah.
So I grew up with these contradictions. And in the fourth step, it says that we have to sort through the confusion and the contradictions of our lives. See, I didn't even know that I didn't know that I didn't know that I had these contradictions. I love meat. Right? But then I would go and put poison in my body. That's a contradiction. I thought I was just having fun. So in step one, you know, I had these beliefs about religion, about God, about spirituality. And, you know, my first sponsor told me there's a difference between religion and spirituality. See, this is what he told me. It's not in the book. But he told me that religion is for people that are afraid to go to hell. And spirituality are for those of us who've already been there.
say that again.
I mean, it's not in the book, but man, that made sense to me. So I have a sponsor today that is loving and caring and gentle with me, man. But my first sponsor, he was not like that. My sponsor, like, yeah, I needed that. I needed that direction, that firmness, that that discipline. And he said, he said, you're going to get out of this book whatever it is you're willing to put into it. And anybody that knows me, I quote literature. I can't help it. The literature comes to life because I can relate it. Look, I was one of those tweakers who, like, I thought everybody was watching me, right? The narcs were in the trees, and when you too, okay. Right, like the wind would blow, and I swore those. Yeah, the SWAT team's in there. Right? Like they had a team of four cars that were following me. So when this car turned, this one would follow me, and then when that car turned, the other one. Matter of fact, even the car in front of me was following me. And I come to Narcotics Anonymous, and listen, man, we identify with laughter. So I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to make light of this. This is some serious stuff. So when you guys laugh, I can identify because I know you can identify, right? So he said, you're famous. He said, they wrote a book about you. You're in this book. So I started reading the book, and I found myself for the first time in my whole life, man. I met people and read about people who had thought like I thought, who had felt the things I felt, and who had done a lot of the things I've done. And I thought I was the only one who did that and felt that and thought that. So I know the word God. Right?
Yeah.
So check it out. If that word God bothers you like it did me, because I didn't come here looking for God. I did not come here looking for God. I'm telling you, I had some religious trauma. I had some unhealthy beliefs. I just wanted to stop getting high. I just wanted my wife to like sleep in the bed with me. First 17 and a half years of our marriage, she was my hostage. After a run, I would come home and she would get all the way to the edge of the bed because she didn't want nothing to do with me. And if I got too close, she'd just get up and leave. That's how I got here. Feeling worthless, hopeless, useless, and lost. So this program, Narcotics Anonymous, has the word God right in the steps. Third step has God. Fifth step has God. Sixth step has God. Seventh step don't say God, but it says Him. Him. Listen, I'm not trying to impose my beliefs on anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. Our symbol, I'm so glad I was in the last workshop, our symbol talks about goodwill as the base. Goodwill is the base. That's doing the right thing for the right reason. Not to push in my agenda or bulldoze anybody, right? But goodwill is like me saying stuff or not saying stuff that might run somebody out of the room. That's goodwill. And of course, the 11th step says God. So that's 4 out of the 12 steps that have the word God right in the step. So am I working a 12-step program or just an 8-step program? Because I got a problem with God.
Say that.
I'm asking because my sponsor told me, Danny, listen, this is not a religious program. It's a spiritual program. Open your mind. He said, open your mind. See, I made these agreements. I made these I had these messages and I made these agreements, man, that I made as a child. As a child, a little boy. I got clean at 32 years old. Still operating on outdated information. Talking about me. I don't know what you're operating on. I'm talking about I come in here with some faulty belief systems that didn't do anything for me. Let me jump to step one. In step one, it talked about we didn't stumble into this fellowship brimming with love, honesty, open-mindedness, or willingness. We reached a point where we could no longer continue using because of physical, mental, and spiritual pain. That's why I didn't want to talk about God, because I didn't want to deal with the spiritual pain. I avoided pain. I avoided reality. So if the stove is hot, I'm not going to touch it. So if talking about God hurts, I'm not going to talk about God. I'm a runner. I don't know, maybe you identify, maybe not. Let's stay busy doing something, anything else. Let me jump into service and be a service junkie. I'm talking about me. And I was on this committee, and I was on that committee, and I chaired this meeting, and I did that, and I did that. Why? Transparency. Because I did just enough work. Just enough work. To live without the use of drugs. To be in my sponsor's good graces. To say, well, I'm on a fourth step. Right? But I failed to do the work necessary. The word necessary to actually live and enjoy life without the use of drugs. There's a difference. Can I live life without the use of drugs, or can I live and enjoy my life without the use of drugs? Or am I walking around angry, yelling all the time? My friend Raymond says, face fighting. My face fighting? No, I smile. Look, if you see me out there, I'll show you my driver's license. I'm smiling in my driver's license. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. In the first step, it says, we need to admit this fact in order to recover. Addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. And then it jumps down and says the spiritual part of our disease is our total self-centeredness. Damn, they said total. They could have just said self-centeredness. They could have just said selfishness. But no. When they wrote the book, they said total. Self-centeredness. That's an emphasis. I used to drop F-bombs just for emphasis. Yeah. Anyways. So the reason... Look, man. I love our literature. Our literature speaks to me like nothing ever has spoken to me. I read other books, and I still do. I read other books. There's stuff I do outside Narcotics Anonymous that enhances my recovery, my relationships with my children, with my wife, with my community, right? But this is a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I'm going to share with you what the book says and in our literature. So check it out. In our literature, in step one, we have this book. Some of y'all call it the flat book. I say y'all because every book is flat. So it's confusing to me. Not really, but I just wanted to say that. Step working guides. Step one, hitting bottom, despair and isolation. That section in the step working guides. You know what the word despair means? One of the definitions is hopeless. In our basic text, it says we were in a hopeless dilemma. Narcotics Anonymous is hope. H-O-P-E. You're doing it right now. Hearing other people's experience. Oh, somebody put that in the chat. Oh, wait. Sorry, I do virtual meetings also. So it says in that section, there's a little section. It says our addiction finally brings us to a place where we can no longer deny the true nature of our problem. All the lies, all the rationalizations, all the illusions fall away, and we stand face to face with our life, with what our lives have become. We realize that we've been living without hope. We find that we become friendless or so completely disconnected that our relationships are a sham, a parody of love and intimacy. Man, what you mean? That's my boy. That's my girl. We like this. Except when getting and using and finding ways and means to get more got in the way. Talking about me. So the literature, like, it gives me a spiritual spanking. I don't know about you. Like, this is a wake-up. It says as a result of working the steps, we've had a spiritual awakening. Right? But if I don't continue the work, if I don't continue to do this work, I can lull myself back to sleep with my good sharing butt. You know what I'm saying? Like I can like be on left field causing harm thinking I'm good because I'm not using drugs. But there's Amazon. Mm-hmm. There's overtime. Ooh. 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 I got a Harley Davidson, so there's more shiny stuff. Right? The more vehicles, right? More. Talking about me. So there's another section in our Living Clean book, and it's called Growing Pains. Right? I love our literature, man. And in Growing Pains, there's a small section where it says many of the challenges we face have concrete symptoms. Concrete symptoms. It's got to be tangible for me to see the evidence, right? It's spiritual in nature, and I can't always see the spiritual in nature. So it says concrete. Well, he took all my time? Okay. I got the five minutes. It says many of our challenges we face have concrete symptoms, but actually they're spiritual in nature. Now, it said concrete symptoms, but spiritual in nature. It says, it continues, it says, it's hard to spot a spiritual crisis. Usually, it's disguised as a crisis in our relationships, in our finances, in our careers, or our family. Ouch! Living clean. Not Danny Hugs. Man, so I'm thinking I have a financial unmanageability. It might just be spiritual unmanageability disguised because I'm buying stuff to try to make me feel better. It might be a relationship. Remember that hostage I told you, 17 and a half years that she was my hostage? Well, this month, if I don't make any major mistakes, right, we're going to celebrate 41 years of marriage. I can't take credit for that. I've done everything wrong. But God.
Yes, sir.
So in this program, results count. That's what the book says. Results count. So guess what? I got results with my relationships with my daughter that I abandoned. With my son that was afraid of me. I got story after story after story of how like I let them down. The person that was supposed to protect them. The person that was supposed to be supportive. And the second step is about restoration. I know my time's running out, so let me just get to it, man. Look, this is a second step topic for me. Second step, it talks about I need to identify what those limiting beliefs were, right, in the first step. I need to, like, overcome some of those obstacles, and I got to put the pen to paper. I got to put the pen to paper. I got to feel it. So I can deal with it. So I can heal from it. In the second step, we come. First we come. Then we come to. And then we come to believe. But I got it. It's a process, and I have to have a guide to do it. So in the second step, I'm identifying these traps, man. Being restored to sanity. The restoration. Look, the disease has different levels. Different levels of traps and schemes and confusion. And I'm feeling okay because I got new shoes. Anybody got more shoes than they need like me? Okay. Yeah. I'm using. I'm not using drugs, but I'm using. Waiting for you to tell me, man, those are nice. The disease, oh, you too, right? So the disease of addiction is fighting for its life. It's in survival mode. It'll use the literature against me. It'll say, well, you're going to those meetings? Why are you hanging out with those people? The disease didn't want to be part of the God squad. It didn't want me to pray and meditate. It wants me to say statement and medicate.
Say it.
It's a third step prayer, y'all. If you go to the World Service website, it says third step prayer. The third step statement is because we have a problem with the word God. And I had to have somebody tell me, Danny, people had sacrificed blood, sweat, and tears to write our literature. How dare you? How dare you call it something else? It's called the Step Working Guides, Danny. But I wanted to sound slick, y'all. I wanted to sound like y'all. Fat book. My sponsor, he put the brakes on that real quick. And I had to, like, swallow my pride and ego. Ego. Ego is not my amigo. It says the first step has left the vacuum in our lives. We need to find something to fill that void. This is the purpose of the second step. See, I had to like develop and cultivate a relationship. Listen, I can study Abraham Lincoln. I can get all the books about Abraham Lincoln. I can know when he was born. I can know his birthday. I can know which elections he won. I can know which inventions he made. I can have all this information. Information is not relationship. I can know all about a higher power. I can know all about God. And it says we can call it the group or we can call it God. And it doesn't matter what you call it if you don't have a relationship. It don't matter what you call it. Jesus, Buddha, Allah, the force be with you, whatever. If I'm still operating on old belief systems, 2 minutes, I acknowledge. Right? So how do I find and use my higher power? Listen, I have to be intentional because I'm thrown off. Like, I'm not wrapped too tight. I see something shiny and I'm... I'll hurt myself. I have to be intentional. I have to be guided. I have to surrender. Throughout this book, in every step, I dare you to look for it. It talks about surrender. Deeper levels of surrender. Deeper levels of surrender. I thought surrender, man, I was going to jail. Put your hands up. Not the Macarena. But I was like going to... Yeah. Anyways, surrender to win is what our book says, man. So in the third step, it says we made a decision. And I'm not going to go through all 12 steps, but the word decision implies action. So what kind of action am I taking? Like, I go and I do an 11th step every week. And I have a practice that I do and all that. And that's fine for me. But what's not fine is when I try to force it on you. And it says this is a program of attraction, not promotion. So what am I attracted to? What am I attracted to? Because my sponsor says, whatever you tune into, you turn into. Whatever you tune into, you turn into. So am I tuning into something that's loving and caring? Because in the beginning, my group was my higher power. Until I find out that they're not loving and caring. And the third step, it says the only suggested guidelines is that this power be loving and caring. And my home group, wasn't always loving and caring. I'm just saying. So I had to find something that worked for me. And I have never had it necessary to go back and change my clean day, because I have not changed, I have not taken any mood changing or mind altering substances. So I know that this program works for me. And I don't have to like change it or add anything to it or dilute it or like mix. Listen, this program works. God loved me so much, He brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous brought me back to God. And there's nothing I could ever do. There's nothing that I could ever do to repay the grace and mercy and acceptance that you guys have given me. So I'm going to close with this. I've got a lot more information that I want to share with you, but time's running out because JP took all the time. But I met this guy a while back ago, and we text every morning. Every morning. So I have a high tolerance for JP. But listen, I'm not trying to pose like I got it all together, because I don't. But I can tell you that I'm not the man I could be, and I'm not the man I should be, and heck, I'm not even the man I want to be. But I thank God that I'm not the man I used to be. Thank you for letting me share.